My name is Barry Long. I teach man and woman how to be true to love and how to be honest in their relationships. I help them to discover a divine love beyond all sexual imagining. The key to the mystery of divine love is to see love as it is and not as you think you know it or like to imagine it. These tapes are for partners who yearn to reach the truth of love in themselves and each other. By listening attentively to what I have to say, and then practicing it patiently and steadfastly over the months ahead, you and your partner can discover a more real, a more divine love. It is not easy to get it right, and sometimes you may even feel it's a hopeless task, but listening to these tapes you will always be reminded that your love has purpose. Without purpose, love is hopeless, as you already know, or you would not be listening now. As you can see in the world around you, love on this planet is in a dreadful mess. But in these tapes, I'm going to show you the purpose of love, and your individual place in love or life on Earth. The cause of most of the unhappiness on Earth is that man and woman have actually forgotten how to make physical love. This is the greatest tragedy of all time. The forgetfulness has been going on and slowly getting worse for so many thousands of years that it's now a tragedy for the whole of mankind. This means that only the individual man or woman has any chance of starting to correct it. There can be no mass solutions. The problem is too personal and too deep. Everybody has to do it for himself or herself, or it can't be done. I shall be telling you how to get your physical love-making right. I shall be speaking very intimately to you. I suggest you play both tapes over and over. Each time you will have new insights into love. Woman's basic unhappiness, her perennial discontent, is because man can no longer reach her physically. Her emotional excess, depressions, tearful frustration, even premenstrual tension, and the conditions leading to hysterectomy and other uterine problems are due to man's sexual failure to gather or release in lovemaking her finest, fundamental female energies. These extraordinarily beautiful divine energies are intense and exquisite, and when left untapped in woman, as they are now, they degenerate into psychic or emotional disturbances and eventually crystallize into physical abnormalities. The womb gives birth to all things. Man's basic unhappiness, his perennial restlessness, is because, in forgetting how to make love, he's abandoned his original divine authority and lost sexual control of himself. His emotional or psychic degeneracy manifests as sex obsession. All men, without exception, are sex obsessed. This means compulsive sexual fantasizing, chronic masturbation, even when living with a partner, sex repression leading to anger and violence, and the universal symptoms of chasing wealth and getting lost in work. Busyness and wealth gathering compensate for being an inept lover, and are cover-ups in both sexes, for the inability or fear to love. Because of his neglect of love, neglect of woman, man suffers from premature ejaculation, guilt, anxiety, self-doubt, impotence, sexual atrophy masquerading as sexual disinterest, sexual abstinence due to repressed fear or failure, sexual bravado and lack of true wisdom, all of which he inflicts on woman, aggravating her basic discontent and his own restlessness. No matter how much a woman loves her man and wants to give her love to him, she will not and cannot give up all her divine energies if he is not yet himself fully integrated or aligned with love. As very few men are themselves, the gap of unhappiness between man and woman keeps on growing. To be a fully integrated male, a man has to assimilate in his body the divine female energies that woman can only release to him through right physical lovemaking. But the man has to be man enough. He has to be able to love her enough. That is, love her divinely or selflessly during the actual act of lovemaking. He has to be able to absorb and express sufficient love in his body to reach the highest part of her, and love enough to extract the divine energies from her deepest center. To be able to love woman in this way is the authority man has lost, his only true authority over woman. This requires pure love. It does not depend on technique. A man may develop his sexual technique, but he cannot use expertise to make divine love. Exciting sensations and orgasms are gratifying and give him a form of authority, but they are not the love that woman craves. He may satisfy her, like a good meal, but soon she hungers again, and eventually despises her appetite or herself because she knows she is not being loved. Man has failed to serve love and failed physically to serve woman, who is the personification of love. The penalty for man is woman's tyrannous emotionality. Wherever he loves, or tries to love, she will one day shock him, stun him, devastate him by suddenly revealing herself as the fiendess, the living female demon of emotion. The fiendess shows herself when he is attached and just can't walk away. A man who has not yet experienced the hatred of the fiendess has not yet experienced love. A woman who has not yet seen herself being the fiendess has not yet connected with her love. To man, the fiendess of emotion in woman is hell on earth. This is the part of her he cannot handle or understand. The demon of his own failure to love comes to life to scorn, abuse, and torment him. He is terrified of it. He bluffs and blusters his way through. But finally, as he grows old in the relationship and gives up for the sake of some peace, the fiendess will conquer him and force him to surrender the last vestige of his manliness and authority. Then they both grow old together, feeling safe, but half dead as they lean on each other in the awful world of compromise. While the world continues as it is, the fiendess will not allow man to forget his failure to love woman rightly. Woman must be loved. The future of the human race depends on woman being loved, because only when woman is truly loved can man truly be himself and regain his lost authority. Only then can peace return to earth. Yet woman, as she is now, cannot be loved for long, or for good, by man as he is now. Together they are trapped in a vicious circle, and if left to their own ideas of love, there is no way out for them. At the beginning of time, when the world had just begun, the state of man and woman was very different. The beginning of time and the world is relatively recent compared with the beginning of the universe or the earth. The earth is not the world. The world was built by man. The world began about 12,000 years ago, when man identified for the first time with physical death. At this point, time began, providing the sense of tomorrow and continuity on which the world is built. Before this there was only past, extending back to the first life forms, and before life on earth there was neither time nor past. There was only the present, the presence or the timeless. Time is not a process of things getting better. Time is the process of things getting worse. And things have got a lot worse for man and woman and their love since they started to slip into time and self-forgetfulness around 10,000 BC. You might say this sounds like myth, It is myth, but not myth as fable or fiction. What I am going to describe is the truth. True myth is the only means we have left of communicating the truth, the original state of man and woman on earth. So please be as still and receptive as you can. Suspend your critical mind and listen while I outline for you the myth or truth of man and woman, your own original state, which you are striving to regain by loving and living in time today. Around 12,000 years ago, the individual bodies of man and woman were permanently surrounded by a magnificent golden orb or halo. Radiating out from the solar plexus, it extended visibly above the head, into the ground and beyond the reach of the outstretched arms. The woman's orb was a slightly deeper gold than the man's, but both had the same dazzling, sublime and beauteous quality. Woman was pure love, the serene, passive pole of human spiritual love on earth. Man, the active and positive pole, was also love, but not pure love in the same sense. His love was a pure authority, the masculine principle, which was the guardian of love or woman on earth. He or his love was responsible for maintaining the golden divine quality of love between man and woman. The brilliance of their orbs or halos at any time reflected the intensity and purity of that love. Their physical lovemaking was ecstatic. The divine energy generated was so powerful that after making love, their radiant bodies or halos blazed with incredible splendor. This self-luminous radiance of spirit or love, created in each by physical union, was the manifestation of their Godhead on earth. For man and woman at the beginning of time were gods, and they sustained the awareness and presence of their Godhead, their timelessness, by making divine physical love. The halo, the golden energy, was their means of communication, whether together or apart. Its range went far beyond the visible outline, and through it each was in constant undisturbed touch with the other, in silence and stillness, in mutual consciousness of pure love, God. When either halo needed new energy, man and woman would draw together and make love, make God. As the only two conscious physical poles of love on earth, they would illuminate and energize themselves. He would regenerate her love, while she would restore his love and authority. Communication between them was so complete, there was no need for speech. Speaking developed with time. It developed when men and women started to forget to love, and began to lose themselves in time given to other things, to building the world. Thus men and women forgot how to be themselves all the time, and as they failed to make divine physical love, their halos, their consciousness, lost the golden God connection. They had to start talking across the developing gap between them. And then in the distance of speech arose misunderstanding and emotion. As time or lovelessness invaded the bodies of man and woman, speech replaced the immediacy and fullness of love. Vocabulary grew and grew. Instead of being love, they declared, "I love you," and there developed many wordy substitutes for love. The intensity of the halo was retained in some individuals longer than others, but with time or the past increasing in everybody, things got inexorably worse. In a few thousand years, most men and women had completely forgotten how to make love and to be love. Although apparently performing the same physical act, they were unable to release or generate divine energy or personify in themselves the living spirit or presence of love, the timeless. Their bodies, no longer aligned in love, were aligned in time and emotion. Instead of making pure love, they made emotional, demanding love. And instead of producing spiritually enlightened children, they produced emotionally dependent ones. Woman was now confused and perennially discontented. Man, having lost his authority, was now impatient with her, and in trying to find a substitute for his authority, he became perennially busy and restless. Lacking the authority to control her, he used his superior physical and economic strength to force her into an inferior social position, particularly by exploiting her love of her young. This so enraged her that it engendered the fiendess, who as long as time continued would never forget or forgive his injustice and corruption of love. The human race, the race into time, had begun. A few men and women retain some ability to love divinely within themselves by deliberately not making physical love. These were the mystics, saints, and ascetics. They turned their attention inward and loved the divine energies in their own bodies. By refusing to mate with other bodies, now filling with time and emotion in the form of discontent and restlessness, they kept themselves relatively pure. But it was a pale and lopsided purity, measured against the full, rich, original radiance. Denying the earthly need of union with the opposite sex, the saintly alternative was fundamentally exclusive, unnatural, and selfish, despite its lofty devotion and idealism. Consequently, it produced half-integrated and only partly divine men and women. Things were getting unmistakably worse. The result was reflected in the orbs and halos, which had gradually shrunk in size and illumination to a small circle of light around the head. You see this today depicted in old paintings and icons, particularly of Christian saints. These shrunken miniature halos show just how restricted and formalized man's idea of love on earth had become. By excluding the whole of his or her body from divine union with the opposite sex, and grounding love solely in the abstraction of the mind, the halo was reduced to circle the head alone, or at best, the upper part of the body. The adoption of celibacy by the mystics was a great tragedy for mankind. Mystics and saints just might have saved the day, or the world, had they acted more selflessly. It could be said that due to the inrush of time they had no choice. At least in their way, they managed to keep some pure divine love on earth, until sainthood itself all but disappeared under the weight of time. But the truth is that they didn't love enough. They didn't love their fellow man and woman with sufficient golden intensity to dip into the divine mind in their own body through intercourse. Making love to give guidance or an inspired example was too much of a self-sacrifice. Despite their divine love, and swamped by time like the rest of mankind, the mystics and saints had completely forgotten how to make physical love. But they didn't realize it, and they were very emotional about it. They even made a virtue of their forgetfulness. This is particularly evident by the time the Christian Church appears. In their relentless passion, perplexed and ridden by guilt, Christian saints denounced physical lovemaking. Like the mob that screamed, "Crucify him!" they condemned the love they feared and did not understand. Or they remained aloof. Although compassionate and mindful of the peripheral sufferings of mankind, the poverty, disease, and violence, they always dodged the central issue of physical love, the cause of most of the unhappiness on earth, including their own. Even Jesus, if we are to believe his priests, avoided the issue completely and left not one word of guidance for men and women whose tireless preoccupation, now as then, is the attempt to make physical love. Because of the glaring omission of sexuality from his teachings, the Messiah has a lot to answer for, if you believe his priests and interpreters. Saintly men and women have burdened everyone in the West with their own awful guilt, and the notion that making physical love is a sin to burn in hell for. How many billions of innocent boys and girls, and men and women, have suffered the hell on earth of sexual guilt, and still do, because of the Christian saints' lack of courage to love? God make me celibate, but not today, prayed Saint Augustine. Why didn't he ask God to show him why he loved woman so much that he couldn't stay away from her, instead of praying for an intellectual ideal that just wasn't true? So the Christians, their saints, and all the celibate monks, ascetics, and devotees of all religions who turned away from physical love tried to keep their hands clean out of the real muck of love where ordinary men and women have to live. God is enough, they said. But is that true if you're not a saint? Is it true for you? Or do you long to make love, and perhaps sense something divine, pure, and godly in making love, which you know must be there and must be found? Love is needed here on earth, and it starts between you and me, man and woman. We cannot opt out of the reality of love on earth and put love in some other place, some heaven. Love is not needed by God, who in that place is the source of love. If you want to escape to God in your love and leave man and woman behind, then God help you. You will never be complete. Man and woman need the God of love in the thick of it here on earth, not somewhere else where it already is and they are not. Only you and I together can make that love, that God, here. It is the lack of love or lack of God between us that has brought the world today to the brink of annihilation by its own hand. Where is the origin of all love on earth, even the love of God, if not in making love? For is not everyone, even the otherworldly saint, born of lovemaking? Is it intelligent to ignore the possibility that the sweetest natural physical sensation two human beings can produce together on earth signifies a reality? Isn't that the obvious place to start looking for a divine love? Have you been told to love God? No one on earth can possibly love God by an act of his or her own will. How can you love if you don't love? What would you say if I said, feel hungry, when you weren't hungry? Or perhaps you've been told to love everybody. How can you love everybody? Can you possibly do it, really? Is everybody so lovable? Do you really love your enemies? Did you tell your children today, not last Christmas, to love those who beat or bully them? Today, when someone crosses you, see if you love him. Let's be straight. Let's be honest with ourselves. We would all love to love everyone. But could we please just start with our partner? Perhaps you say, love everyone in spite of the natural tendency to be unloving. That's the task. There is no task, no duty, no hardship in love. To try to love as a task is to follow the shameful, guilt-ridden, otherworldly way. That is not the way to love. You start to love by making love, which is what you and everyone else on earth most want to do anyway. But you must learn how to make love rightly, that is, without self-indulgence, without seeking emotional satisfaction and self-gratification. Breaking the sexual habits and appetites of a lifetime will take some time and a lot of love. It will not be easy. But you will know by the feeling of rightness that you are on the way back to a more real, more fulfilling love. Eventually, after you have learned to make true physical love and have started to restore your golden halo, you'll find you have discovered how to love your fellow man, how to love your enemies, how to love yourself, and how to love God. Woman has learned to make love through man who does not know how to make love. Hence the dreadful mess that love is in. Since time began, she has been manipulated and encouraged to feel that the finest expression of her love is to please man sexually. The truth is the other way round. The finest expression of love is to have man delight her sexually. This he can only do when he can forget his preoccupation with orgasm and excitement, and be sufficiently selfless or present in love to collect and receive her divine energies. For him, these are the finest expression of her love. By teaching her to please him and satisfy him down through the ages, man has taught woman to desire him, to project herself sexually, to make herself attractive to him. He addicted her to an emotional and physical craving for his sexual attention, and he did this by neglecting to love her. Woman had no affirmation of love, her true nature, since there was no man to love her rightly. So she settled for sexual excitation, which men had persuaded her was love. Men addicted her to this by teaching her that there is no purpose to physical love outside of making babies or selfish pleasure. Man in his selfishness taught woman to be selfish. He taught her to excite him physically whenever love was not present, to project herself sexually for their mutual entertainment through clothing, makeup, dance and posing. And he encouraged her to let him excite her and himself through digital stimulation of her clitoris to the point of orgasm, instead of loving the beauty of her whole body. The loveless narcotic of sex numbed her, and like all addictions, engendered fear. Fear of losing him or his attention, and fear of other women in the form of jealousy and female competition. If she didn't satisfy him, another woman soon would. And with this went the intimidating thought sown in her by all her sexual partners that if she didn't comply, she'd be left all alone. As a reaction to this male infamy, woman discovered cunt power, the power to tease man and manipulate him without delivering the goods or by denying the goods when he wanted them. But the spell of cunt power being largely imaginary soon wore off after she let him enter her body. He would soon tire of her and go off with another woman. Woman's subconscious dependence on the fluctuating sexual attention of men rules her choice of partner. She may go for either an exciting man whom she thinks she can control, or an agreeable and safe partner whom she can quietly bend to her wants. Both kinds of partnership usually end either in disaster or boredom and indifference. Male sexuality is put into woman in sexual intercourse, and because it is substantive, it stays on in her. Its effect is a periodic, wispy shadow of depression that she can't explain, but accepts as normal. It clouds her perception, making her feel emotional and not herself. The same male sexuality is the active, outgoing, selfish drive which made the world a violent and loveless place. In woman, this destructive shadow of man subtly influences her choice of a partner. So very seldom is he Mr. Right. The male shadow in her is doubt, and it is the shadow that chooses. While woman wants the right to choose, she has to make a choice, and then she must live with the shadow, doubt, in the man and in herself. Woman in her natural state is not dependent on man. She loves him, and in love there is no dependence, no attachment, and no fear of losing. She is the passive attracting principle. She is an irresistible living magnet. She draws to herself a right man to love her truly and divinely. There's no choice in it. For woman today to return to her natural golden state takes time. But having suffered enough from man's sexuality, she gradually learns not to compromise where there is not enough love. Finally, this brings her a man who can remove the shadow from his love. A woman is only ever less than her true nature because of man's lack of love. She went off into her dream to escape his sexuality. Her babies have long been a substitute for his love. Unlike man, a real woman can exist without sexual intercourse or masturbation. She waits for love, not sex. Woman only lusts for man when she identifies with the male sexuality he has induced in her. Nymphomania is a male invention and fantasy projection, like sex shops, pornography and prostitution, all kept going by male sexuality and lack of love in all concerned. Woman has been utterly fooled by man, pathologically brainwashed. And as modern woman congratulates herself on her progress in breaking down male domination in the world, she fails to perceive that she is as firmly hooked as ever on his orgasmic sexuality and his clitoral substitute for love. Her protests are really about love, not equality. But that's not heard in the strident male arena. It is man's world, and he built it on the strength of sexual aggression. Male domination began in sex, and in sex it continues unabated. Woman cannot alter this position by marching with banners or withdrawing from sex. She has tried all the means at her disposal down through the centuries. None has worked, and none will. The solution is now beyond the scope of any personal or social action. Only consciousness beyond the person or divine action can help. Let me ask you, woman, have you really any idea how to free yourself from male sexual domination? How to bring real love back into your life? Any idea how you and your partner can learn to make real love? To truly make love tangible so that you can actually create love together and build on it as long as you are both together? Have you? If you have an answer, please say it. Say it now out loud or to someone else, before I tell you, or before you're tempted after I speak to say you knew it all along. Well, whatever your answer, I ask you to give it up. To find love, you have to abandon all your preconceptions. The only way to love is to be available to the new now. Addressing both man and woman, if you are going to bring love into your sexual life, you are going to need new energy. That energy starts with honesty. Honesty to yourself and honesty to life. Here are three things you can do to gather the necessary energy. Listen to yourself admit that your love life is not good enough. You must express this. Say it aloud. Hear it so that there is no hiding, no psychological escaping. It's not enough just to know it inside. That's how love dies between lovers. They think it's enough to know they love inside and not to say it anymore. When it's too late, they sob and scream their love. But the door's already slammed, the house empty. Say it now so that your whole being hears it. Our lovemaking is not good enough. Next, admit to yourself that you don't know what to do about the problem, that you are powerless. See that all you can do is repeat the same old actions that men and women in their desperation and despair have taken unsuccessfully since they first fell in love and time or emotion started to come between them. Be honest. If you already know the answers, why haven't you acted on them? And if you have the answer, why are you listening to this tape? Finally, admit you can't do it alone, that you need help. For when you give up, when you truly surrender in humility, help is always there within you, and then it can appear outside you. Such honesty and self-knowledge generates passion, the power of love and true commitment in existence. The word passion originally meant suffering, not the suffering of love, but the suffering of self. It's the dissolution or death of self that gives rise to true passion. Self consists of all your past emotional and mental suffering that persists to this day in your subconscious. And the most potent component of self is sexual unhappiness. All the heartbreak, sexual frustration, and discontent that you've suffered since your earliest sexual experience. In other words, self is the ignorance and pain of love. Like everything else in existence, self naturally does not want to die. It is sustained by love of self instead of love of love. However, the time comes for everybody when self must die, like everything. This is the moment for love to come deeper into the body. And as self is dissolved, it is always a painful, traumatic process. True passion is present, as it was in the beginning. To return to the golden state of love in these confused and ignorant times is not easy. But if you have the courage, the honesty, and really desire your freedom, your love, I will guide you into living it. I've spoken about how far man and woman are today from the divine and golden love that is their birthright. Now we are ready to start reclaiming it. I'm going to take you through a number of steps, a program of lessons in lovemaking, if you care to call it that, and I ask you to please follow it carefully, putting what is said into practice in your own time over the months and years ahead. This is a process. Every step is the means, not the end. The instruction on these tapes leads you closer and closer to the reality of love. But you can't make it happen quickly or with any will of your own. Love has to be allowed to work in you, as love will. In the beginning and for a good while thereafter, you have much to unlearn and many habits to dismantle. To begin with, there are four requirements. Commitment, absence of emotion, practice, and perseverance. Both partners must be committed. To make love in this new way, both you and your partner must be committed to take the necessary steps. Both of you should listen to these tapes, and preferably you should listen together, at least in the beginning. Don't think that playing them once or twice is enough. Both of you must be willing to follow the instructions. Adapt them sensibly to your own particular situation when you see the necessity. Do not give up, no matter how hard things get or how often you seem to fail. Keep a sense of greater purpose. You are both engaged in the restoration of divine love on this planet, whatever that may mean to you personally at this time. If you are listening to this but do not have a partner now, it's a preparation for when you do. For you, this is an exercise in seeing the errors you have made in the past. Make love without emotion or imagination. You are going to practice making love without emotion or imagination. The purpose of this is for you to learn to leave it to the two bodies, to get your habitual controlling self out of the action. You may not get the idea at the first attempt, or you might. At first the lovemaking may seem strange, even cold. Make love frequently. Make love as often as you can, for only by making love, or endeavoring to, can you make love. The less you make love, the more you grow apart. Don't allow too long a gap. I repeat, make love. Don't make excuses. Put the bodies together and see. Please persevere. There'll be a setback sooner or later as emotion or self comes in. But don't be discouraged. Keep going. Keep loving. If the emotion in either or both of you is too great to allow straightness or love, break off and try again next day. The connection will return, or it will come suddenly and then fade out again as you go through another wave of emotion that separates you. Some of these emotional periods may last several days. During them, you may even dislike each other. Lovemaking can seem impossible. Try when you can, though. You can't rid yourself of all the past at once, or even in a few weeks. You actually have to work at it for the rest of your life. All the time you will be making more love, becoming a more loving and conscious man or woman. Next, I'm going to say several things about right conduct and how to be together in straightness and love. Do not be independent. In the lead up to lovemaking and in the lovemaking act itself, have no thoughts or decisions independent of your partner. Everything is to be done together and discussed and observed together as you do it. No long silences. Converse constantly, expressing in words what you are feeling as a bodily sensation. When you feel pleasure, say it. Say, "That's lovely," if it is. Say what you actually feel, not what you think. You're not supposed to be thinking. You're supposed to be being. That means looking inside your body at the sensation, not at what you are thinking. Communicating in words will keep you conscious and present, in front of each other. No promiscuity. Don't spread yourselves around sexually. Conserve the energy of this practice. It is precious. Committed partners are not easy to find. Keep to the one partner once you've found him or her. Partners who are not committed will weaken you and make you lose faith. If you are without a partner, my advice is to wait. Don't go with someone for emotional gratification or sexual satisfaction. Wait until someone comes who has enough love to be with you in the ways I'm revealing. If you meet someone and you enjoy being with each other, be straight right from the start. Tell him or her the truth, that you are endeavoring to love and raise your consciousness through love and honesty. Honest love. Take responsibility. Talk about what it involves. And if you are serious and earnest about loving, you will eventually draw to yourself a person who will share the start of this great adventure with you. If the partnership ends after a while, nothing is really lost. Both of you have gained in love and consciousness, and can be that much more loving and straight next time. Be vulnerable to love. This is most important, especially for women. Don't cut yourself off because you've been hurt in the past. Be brave for love. Turn outward. Love will help you. Don't let fear harden you. The hurt was emotion and lack of love in both of you. It's past. Let it go. Now that you're beginning to understand what making love is about, you have the simple answer to the hurt and the simplest protection against it. That is, only make love where there is enough love to be straight and to be present with each other. Don't fall in love. Be in love. Falling in love is closing your eyes, shutting down your beautiful consciousness, and tripping off into dreamland while you're awake. It's bound to end in disaster because you'll be in imagination. You won't see what's going on. But be in love. Always be in love when you are in love. For to be in love and to keep love fresh and new requires tremendous awareness, tremendous presence. Be in love in this way, and your love will not end, for love has no end. Fall in love, and your love will end. For both of you, the conscious purpose is to reduce the emotionality in yourselves. And the next step is to watch for the moment when the emotion enters and see why you allowed it. I'm going to mention 5 areas of emotionality that may undermine your ability to make love. These are doubt, disinclination, overexcitability, defensiveness, and argument. Agree about when and where you will make love. You should decide together in advance when you are going to make love. Allow ample time. No rush. No avoidable distractions. It is imperative that the woman sticks to her decision to make love. If there has to be a time lag due to work or children, she must make it clear to the man that when the time comes, she won't have a headache or not feel like it, or be too tired. She must take responsibility for herself, as he must for himself. Her declared position must be, "I'm going to make love with you. There's no reason to be impatient or doubtful. I won't change my mind." Otherwise, as the time approaches, he will start getting anxious, excited, and impatient. He can't help this when there is any possibility of lovemaking. His subconscious fear is that she will change her mind, that for some reason he won't get there. Excitement comes from anticipating an end, in this case an orgasm, and he has yet to learn that making love is not an end, not an orgasm. That when he can make love and go on, his woman will be available all the time and at any time. Who's not available for love? Only those who don't know love. So the woman has to consciously dispel the man's mounting excitement by reaffirming her availability. Woman's implied unavailability excites man and makes him a hopeless lover, because then he wants her instead of loving her, and wanting soon runs out or tires, as every woman who has ever excited a man knows. On the other hand, if your physical relationship is old and weary, the problem won't be excitement, but how to be new, fresh, and present every moment as you face each other. Making love, as I am describing it, will give you both a new approach, a new energetic interest to find out if it works. That will help to keep the old habitual self out and allow the present in. "But I don't feel like it." No more of that. You don't have to worry about feeling like making love. That's an emotional distraction. The body's love to make love. The part of you that feels like it, or doesn't feel like it, is the problem, the emotional monitor, the self that gets in the way. Leave it to the bodies and they will make love. Stay out of it as much as you can. Keep the sexual temperature down. Due to woman's innate lack of sexual excitability, she is likely to be stronger or straighter than the man, and is more likely to grasp the spirit of what I am endeavoring to convey. She must keep the man straight by seeing that he does not lapse into his imagination, for without him realizing it, his mind will start to throw up erotic and sexual pictures or thoughts that have nothing to do with the woman he's with. She must constantly work at keeping his sexual temperature down. He might well say, "But this is like visiting the doctor." Make a joke if you like, and smile. Making love like this may indeed feel as clinical as a visit to the doctor. That's how it's supposed to be, until you break through your past habits. Stay clear of the emotion. The woman can quite suddenly get off balance, particularly if she is near her menstrual period, when she is often acutely defensive and suspicious of man as well as herself. This suspicion is global and reflects man's age-old exploitation of her through her children, the young she must protect. Also, her female perception is heightened at this time and is in conflict with the male emotionality in her, which tries to project itself out into man's world. She can become confused and unsure of her role, so he must keep her straight too. He must be alert to see that she stays present. Do not accuse each other. You must not accuse each other of being emotional, as this will only generate more emotion. If one of you suspects that the partner is emotional or not being straight, you must ask a question. For example, what are you feeling now? Or is it true now? Always refer to now, not to yesterday. If each of you answers honestly and you stay present, as you are committed to do, you will see yourself being emotional, if you are. Then if you admit it without argument or justification, the emotion will be dispelled and love will remain. Keep talking, but always to the point, what both of you are doing and feeling now. Trust each other. Listen to each other. Do not dream off. Keep each other present. Don't be upset when your partner says you're not present. Resist the urge to argue back. There is nothing to defend if you are straight, honest. Discover together. Hear each other. You'll soon get the hang of it. Now to the preliminaries of lovemaking. Remember that the purpose is to consciously reduce your excitability. Therefore, you have to abandon your habitual foreplay, which you've been accustomed to using to get yourselves excited. The time has come. You have agreed to make love, and now it's time. Undress in the same room. Keep the light on. No hiding. Don't be concentrated. Love is a serious business, but it's not that serious. Be easy. You can smile. Just raise the corners of the lips and smile. Be present. Be in the room there together. Be now. Stand naked and apart. Look at each other, eyes and body. See each other's bodies. No judging, no thinking. Don't think about what's going to happen or what you're going to do. And please don't be self-conscious. Hold to love. Start by accepting your body, being your body, blemishes and all. If you see that your partner is self-conscious, help him. Help her. Smile. See something good. Look for the beauty of the being within, coming through the body. It's there. See it. Say it. Be naked psychologically. Be innocent. Be new. Don't look back. Be yourself just as you are now. Be vulnerable. You've got nothing to lose that wasn't lost a long, long time ago. While you are looking at each other, do so without using the imagination. Do not jump from this moment into the next move. If you think or use the imagination, it's likely to project you, when the time comes, into making love to someone else, with a vagina or penis that's not really there. Have you lost the urge to make love while I've been talking? Not really. The body doesn't lose the urge to make love. It always enjoys making love. If you, the monitor, don't get in the way. Smile at each other and embrace, still standing. This is when the imagination is likely to become active. When you're looking over your partner's shoulder, or when you close your eyes. so don't close your eyes. Feel your partner's flesh, on the back and the arms. Don't think, feel, and keep the eyes open. He gives to her. He caresses and fondles her. She caresses and holds him, in love. But at this stage she must not fondle his genitals. She remains passive, responsive but undemonstrative. His job is to please and delight her, to give to her without exciting himself. He focuses only on pleasing her. That will give him pleasure, without emotion. This is the most important point for him to remember. He is not to take for himself. He is to give, and then give again, and again. Kissing. When you kiss, kiss gently and lightly on the lips and the body. But do not use your tongue. Lovers lose and hide themselves in tongue kissing. The tongue can be used like an emotional penis. Love is made consciously in the vagina and you are not there yet. There must be no surrogate for the love of the penis in the vagina. Later, when you have learned to be fully present there, you can do anything your mutual passion requires. Feel your love in your solar plexus. Put your attention on the solar plexus, for that's where passion starts, before it spills over into the genitals. The woman will probably be able to feel the solar plexus before the man does. In his excitement, he is likely to miss it and connect up with the emotion in his penis. Stay with your love. Keep yourself and your partner present by saying what you are feeling. Out loud. If you feel passion rising, or excitation or excitement, say it. The man may lose his erection. He may not have an erection, or if he does, he may lose it. He may have become so dependent on imagination that he can't get an erection without it. This is likely if his lovemaking has been habitual in the past. If he gets an erection and then loses it because the stimulus of the imagination is missing, that has to be seen as a good thing, because he is less likely to ejaculate prematurely when he eventually becomes erect inside her. An erection is only necessary in the vagina where love is made, so he doesn't need an erection at this stage. If he has a full, hard erection now, he is likely to be emotional and already on the way to a premature climax. But if that is the case, he should not feel disheartened. He's just got to try to keep the imagined stimulus out, so that his excitement doesn't become uncontrollable when he enters her. He doesn't require an erection to feel passionate and loving, or to inhale the spiritual fragrance of her feminine presence. He may kiss her breasts and fondle her genitals, without finger penetration, to show his love to her, through his hands. As he loves her like this, her passion will be rising. If he has a full erection outside the vagina, he is already in danger of being emotional. This is normal today, but means he has to be very aware and still as he enters, or he may ejaculate. A penis erected outside the vagina usually has an emotional will of its own, which is really the force of wanting. Inside the vagina, a man can use that force to suppress his climax. But as suppression is not love, the lovemaking will not be satisfactory to either him or her. Eventually, ejaculation is mastered by speed of consciousness or presence, which comes from absence of self-consideration. Before he enters her, they enjoy each other and at the same time consciously contain their excitement. He is alert to see that she is really present, especially if she is enjoying his caress. She speaks to him, reminding him to keep his sexual excitement in check, and helps him to interrupt and so break up the force of his wanting. They keep talking, always to the point of what each is feeling now. No long silences, remember. No blissful spells of euphoria. If the sensation is sweet, beautiful, nice, lovely, whatever the right word is, she says so. His job is to love her by pleasing her, and she responds and acknowledges his loving. She does not observe her feelings, her emotions. She aims to be the sensation in her body. She gets her consciousness into the part of the body where the pleasure actually is. The aim is to contain your excitement, so foreplay is minimal. Often there will be no foreplay at all. Foreplay is like forethought. There's a sense of premeditated intent. You work towards the exciting prospect of the pleasure to come, or you repeat pleasurable feelings out of the past in yourself. The present, or love without intention, is ignored. When you both know that you're able to stay with the pleasure without getting excited, you'll be able to engage in love play. I'll say more about that later, but first you must practice making love without excitement. So bring your bodies together and make love. Remember, hold the imagination at bay. Don't drift into thought. Your aim is to be conscious of the pleasure throughout. As you come together, please be emotionally detached. That means you are present in love, but detached from the memory, the past. You are aware, patient, considerate, giving, and able to see the funny side should that occur to you. He enters her gently. Gently and lovingly. Gentle firmness is the way of love. Nothing must be forced. If necessary, use a lubricant. He must enter her slowly. As he enters, he is one with the sensation in his penis. This means he must feel what his penis is feeling every moment, not just the urgency, the pressure of his own wanting. He must get to know the difference. If he doesn't have a full erection, he may be helped into the vagina. She avoids fondling his penis to stimulate him. If there's sufficient love between them, he will have enough of an erection to enter. Or he will lie against her until the love comes through. It can't be hurried or forced. Once inside, the penis will become fuller or fully erected. The man sees for himself that given presence and love in both partners, the penis always responds in the vagina without need of stimulation beforehand. It's the same when the man is apparently impotent. Put the soft penis into the vagina. Wait patiently. Or get up and try later, or the next day. You are switching over to love as the guiding power, and you must have faith in it. As soon as there is communication and the love flows, the penis will suddenly move like a living thing and extend towards the vagina. This will amaze you both, particularly the man, and you will begin to understand the wonderful power and intelligence you're connecting with. On entry, the man must be prepared for a downrush of her sexual energy. This will make him come with the penis only partly erect, and this may astonish or puzzle him. But the more she learns to stay present and to be united with the consciousness or pleasure in her vagina, the less the release of this energy will hinder him. All thought must be kept out. Once inside, he penetrates as far as he can and then lies still. He allows his penis to feel her, to absorb the vaginal energy. That will inform the penis of what to do, what is needed. He responds only to his penis, not to what he has learned, heard, or can remember. He keeps the past out of it. All past experience is thought. He is as new as the moment itself. Then the penis can do its divine work. There are no practiced moves. She makes no deliberate movements with her body. All the movement is left for the body to do, even if it means no movement at all. She does nothing that she's learned from other lovers or acquired through reading or watching films. In the beginning, it may not be easy for the woman to distinguish between body contortions, contriving phony signs of pleasure and participation, and pure natural movements made under the control of the vaginal consciousness. Later the body will move passionately, but not necessarily demonstratively, according to the consciousness of the moment. But to start with, all extremes of movement in her are suspect. In particular, she must abandon any male assertiveness or aggression. She must remember that love in woman is not projective. It is a still, sweet, natural, flowing motion. Flexing the muscles of the vagina is a good trick and is sure to entertain an emotional penis, but it's not love. There is no imagination in the penis. The man does not allow his mind to move. He gets his consciousness out of his head and down into his penis where the love is being made. He stays present without imagining where the penis is. His penis has no imagination, only the knowledge of what is, where it is. He must be that sensation, that highly sensitive consciousness which responds in perfect harmony to the energetic needs of the vaginal consciousness. Continue to keep up the loving dialogue, telling each other how beautiful it is and how much you love making love, if that's the truth. Ejaculation is not inevitable. One thought about where his penis is and he is more likely to ejaculate. But the moment he feels he can't stop himself is the moment he can. He must not believe the first feeling that orgasm is inevitable. He must not give in to it. It is a trick of the pent-up emotion that wants to be released, part of the animal drive to masturbate or reproduce. When the feeling comes, he must cease all movement, be completely still, or withdraw immediately. He will discover which is best for him. The split second is crucial. It marks the point where he can use his creative spiritual authority, or presence as man, and resist or dispel the instinctive animal emotion. He must not go with the inevitability, must not believe he can't stop, because he can. Only in the next instant is orgasm inevitable. Not now. Please do not misunderstand. The man is not continuously trying to avoid coming. His consciousness is on the action of love, not the possible end result. Orgasm is not to be seen as good or bad, necessary or unnecessary, desirable or undesirable. The orgasm comes when it comes, naturally. The point is that the man must learn to exercise his authority or presence over the excitability or past in him. His ejaculation must not be a problem for either him or her. The penis opens the vagina. He endeavors to stay near the top of the vagina. He's not in a hurry to move backwards and forwards, up and down. The vagina is an elastic cavity, taut with hidden tension, and the head of the penis should open it up, absorbing the stress and residual emotion out of the whole upper and lower area. He should move from one wall of the vagina to the other several times, pausing for a few seconds between each movement. The proper function of the penis in the first instance is to remove the woman's tensions from the vagina where they reside. The penis can start to do this as the woman learns to reduce in her daily life the projection of her inner tensions as personality, needless activity, or emotionality. When the man becomes sexually still and present, the head of the penis acts like a highly charged magnet. First it gathers the vaginal tensions. Then it begins to collect the divine energies. The purpose of the lovemaking is served when the divine energies have been gathered. He may then lose his erection inside the vagina without having an orgasm. After making love consistently in this new way, and as you persevere with it, you will be able to make love for lengthening periods to your mutual love and delight. Her vagina will become softer, more sensitive and receptive, and will no longer necessarily need external stimulation. Only emotional tension makes the vagina resistant or not ready for love. As the emotional tension is reduced, the consciousness or sensitivity of the vagina increases, and her joy in lovemaking grows. And as he becomes less dependent on excitement, he grows in presence, and a new sense of command and authority appears in his life. Remember, only what he can take can she give. And she must learn to take more and more pleasure from his lovemaking without herself becoming excited. Eventually, maximum pleasure prolonged in lovemaking transforms into beauty. Making love is beautiful, and everyone loves it as the vagina and penis become honest and free.